One of the phrases that many people in the denominations are just completely clueless over that is a very biblical phrase is obey the gospel. Now, there are different ways to try to define what it means to obey the gospel. I'm not going to be able to go over every one of them, but I'd like to go over one particular way on how to do that. First off, I'd like to look at each of the three times that phrase is used in scriptures. And the first one is in 1 Peter. So if you're still in 1 Peter, turn back there. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 17. Obey the gospel. Since many of the people who in the various denominations believe that one is saved by faith only, they don't realize how important obedience is, or they never even think about the phrase, obey the gospel. It's not something that even crosses their radar. But it is found in Scripture. And the first question I want to try to answer is it important? Is it important to obey the gospel? Is it important to understand what this means? So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? First, we see that judgment in this particular verse, we see that judgment begins with the house of God. Peter then asks a question. What will become of those who do not obey the gospel? Well, then he quotes from Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 31. And it's a little different recorded a little bit differently in Proverbs than it is here in 1 Peter. But if you look at Proverbs 11:31, if you turn there, it reads, if the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? So we see that that there's quite a bit that we could talk about here, and I'll save that for Sam when he gets to that. Whatever the case, the answer to the question of what it means to obey the gospel is not answered here. But we do see, and what happens to those who don't obey the gospel, again, is not strictly answered here. But what we do see is that it's since we do understand other passages in Scripture, we understand what that means. It is a rhetorical question. Since we know about other passages, we know their end is not good, particularly when we turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And that's the other time, another time this phrase is used. So let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll look at verses 7, or rather 8 and 9. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So we see that the Lord brings vengeance upon those who do not obey the gospel. Punishment comes upon them, an everlasting destruction. So yes, obeying the gospel is very important, vitally important, if we are going to be saved. Then we have the question, how can we obey the gospel to avoid this fiery fate? I've had some tell me that it is impossible to obey the gospel, since the gospel is a proposition, an historical fact. It's impossible to obey a fact or a proposition. It's just impossible. Despite all the passages that say you need to obey the gospel, that the passages that we see here, the two passages and the other one, despite all these things, they still say you can't obey the gospel. Well, if the gospel is only the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, well, there's no command there to obey, is there? We don't see a command. It's just a fact. That person might be right. But when we turn to the third passage that we're going to look at, that explains things a little bit differently. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. This is the other passage that we see. Romans chapter 10, it's in verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? We see that they haven't all obeyed the gospel. But in order to get a full understanding of this passage, we've got to read a little bit around this verse. We can't just stick to this one. Let's look at starting in verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him and of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul sets up a contrast between those who do not obey the gospel and those who call on his name. So by our own reason, we can understand that obeying the gospel means calling on his name. These two are synonymous phrases. If we call on his name, we are obeying the gospel. And if we do not obey the gospel, then we're not calling on his name. We see that contrast between the two groups. And then Paul goes on to talk about those who do not obey. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth. Verse 18. So we see in this particular section a reverse progression. We see starting at the starting point in verse 13, one has called on his name. Well, how can they call on him unless they believe in him? So call, believe, and then hear about it from a preacher, and then a preacher is sent. So we see that sort of reverse progression here in Romans. You see, Christ sent them out with the Great Commission. So that part's already taken care of. And at the same time, he sent us out too. Every Christian has the command of the Great Commission upon them. We all are to go out and to tell others about Jesus. We have heard from someone about him. We have believed. We have called on his name. Now then, we are among those that the Great Commission applies to because we are a Christian. We are all preachers of the gospel of peace, all of us. I might have the title as it we might think of it, but we're all called to do that. All called to talk to somebody else about the God. A preacher is just a herald. That's what the Greek word means. It's just someone who tells somebody else about the gospel, and that's what we all are meant to be. We're all called to be that, to some extent or another. So for one to obey the gospel, they must believe in Jesus first. Some claim obeying the gospel is simply believing it. Well, is that true? But here we see that's not the case. We see that one preacher is sent, the preacher preaches, they hear it, then they have faith, they believe in it, and then they call on his name. So calling on his name is the opposite of, or is the same as obeying the gospel, then believing it on it is not the same thing. So believing is not the same thing as obeying the gospel. They are not the same. So how do we call on his name? Well, whatever is involved, the result is salvation. We see whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We see that here in Romans 10:13. We see it in Acts 2:21, because they're all quoting the same place, Joel 2:32. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Recall, it's not simply saying, Lord, Lord. That isn't enough to be saved. We see that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. That's not enough. No, you have to do the will of the Father in heaven. That's what we have to do. Some will say that it is enough, however. And they will point in this very context, and, you know, I'm glad that they're looking at the context, because then they'll go up to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and say, well, that's what you have to do to be saved. You have to believe and confess the name of Christ. Well, we do have to do those things, but that's not all that's required. We can't just look at this one chapter out of the rest of the scriptures and focus on it. We have to look at it as a whole. Since we all know that all of what God says is truth, Psalm 119, verse 160, we know that there's more to it than that. We know we must do the Father's will, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. In the Old Testament, calling on the name of the Lord involved an altar and a sacrifice. We see that the first use of that phrase is in Genesis 4:26. But after that, Abraham and Isaac, they both called on the name of the Lord several times, and that always included an altar and a sacrifice. Who is our sacrifice? Christ. And our altar is in heaven. You see, Paul was quoting from Joel 2:32 about calling on the name of the Lord. Peter quoted this too, as we've mentioned that before, in Acts chapter 2. But then he told those folks, once they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? After they were cut to the heart, men and brethren, what shall we do? He didn't say, I told you, call the name of the Lord. I told you, say this prayer. He never said any of that. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's what he told them. Ananias told Paul to be baptized, to wash away his sins, and to call on his name. Call on the name of the Lord in Acts chapter 22:16. And of course, we can't forget Romans chapter 6. Again, not leaving Romans. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, and also 17. I don't have time to get into that, but that's a good passage as well to consider what it means to obey the gospel. So, from what we've seen, whatever the gospel entails, we know it has commands to obey. We know that some of those commands include repentance and baptism. And we know that if we neglect to obey the gospel, fiery judgment awaits. In this context, we might define the gospel not just as good news, which is what it literally means, but good news, which includes commands that can be obeyed so that we might be saved. So obedience to the gospel is following God's plan of salvation. If you need to obey that gospel plan today, we stand ready to assist. I believe everyone who's accountable here has done that, and I thank God for that. But if you need to make things right with him, we stand ready to assist. Please come forward as we stand and as we sing.